So I want to ask you this morning a question that we'll be returning to many times throughout this summer, and that's the question, what do you want to be remembered for? And today's scripture is about Abraham and Sarah, and as we read their story in the several chapters of Genesis, we discover that they are remembered for many things. They're remembered because they teach us that you're never too old to serve God. When God calls them to leave their home and their family and to follow God's vision into the future, Abraham is 75 years old and Sarah is 65. And they certainly could have said, "We're too old," or "We've already done our part, get someone else." But instead they go and they trust that God is with them. They also teach us to walk by faith and not by sight. God promises them that their descendants will number like the stars in the sky, if you can count them, he says. And then they wait. They wait for 25 years. Abraham is 100 and Sarah 10 years younger when Isaac is finally born. They might have given up on God, but their legacy is that they keep on keeping on and trusting that God is faithful. And then they teach us that God is able to use ordinary people to accomplish extraordinary things. And when we read their stories, we come to see that Abraham and Sarah are certainly no saints. On more than one occasion, Abraham turns from God and takes matters into his own hands. And Sarah encourages him, because she is childless, to have a child with their servant Hagar. And Ishmael is born. And both of them, at different points in the story, including our text for today, laugh in the face of God's promises. But through it all, God never gives up on them, and they become the spiritual ancestors of three world faiths, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. And then there is at least one more gift that we have been given from Abraham and Sarah, and that's the one I want to focus in on this morning. They are remembered for their exuberant hospitality. And as we will see, they welcome guests in their home with such joy and enthusiasm that it gives us a great example to follow in our lives. And I would invite you to find the teaching notes that are there in the bulletin this morning and to follow along as we look at a few of the lessons that Abraham and Sarah give us in exuberant hospitality. First of all, in this story, Abraham and Sarah teach us to welcome everyone we meet. Exuberant hospitality involves welcoming everyone you meet. Look at verse 1 of Genesis 18. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. Now, as we read this story, we already know that these three men are messengers of God. But Abraham doesn't know that. And when he looks up and sees them, what he sees are three strangers on a journey who've stopped to find some rest in the shade under his oak trees. Abraham and Sarah welcome these men so enthusiastically that it gives us a picture that this is just what they do. That they are people who treat everyone that God brings into their lives like they are family. Now, nowadays, we are cautious about strangers. And, well, we ought to be. We teach our children not to talk to strangers, and rightly so. We have safe sanctuary policies in our church to protect children and vulnerable adults who participate in our ministries and everyone who will be helping with Vacation Bible School this week. We've had background checks on them to protect our children. Living in this world, we keep appropriate boundaries with others. But at the same time, we remember that the Lord Jesus was always welcoming strangers and outcasts. And he spoke kind words even to those he was meeting for the first time. And he shared his time and energy with people that no one else had time and energy for. One of our favorite children's songs is the one about Zacchaeus, the wee little man who climbed up in the tree to see Jesus. And we remember how Jesus called him down and went home with him. And in the way that the Lord was present with him, Zacchaeus' life was transformed. And as Luke tells it in chapter 19, Jesus said to Zacchaeus, "Today, salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham." And then look at verse 10. "For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." So just as Zacchaeus and so many others are worthy of Jesus' time, so everyone you and I interact with is loved by God and worthy of your time. And that's certainly true for everyone who comes into the life of this church. Betsy and I have been here for almost 2 years now. In fact, next week it will be the end of our second year. And we can testify to the fact that this is a friendly church. On Sunday mornings, there is an active desire to welcome everyone. Redcoats open doors and serve at the welcome center. Greeters and ushers welcome us as we come into the sanctuary to worship. Members of our church are serving as housewarmers who are intentional about connecting with people who sit near them. We are a friendly church. But here's the thing. These days, people aren't just looking for a friendly church. Being friendly is important, but strangers are looking for more than a nice handshake and a warm hello while you're on the way to talk to your friends. People come to the church looking for relationships. They're looking not for a friendly church, but for a community of people where they can give and receive love. And that's true not just for the people we meet here in the building. It's true for the people we meet from day to day out there in the world. And I wonder, how would Abraham and Sarah treat the cashier at the grocery store? Or the young man holding up the sign along the road asking for help. Or the telemarketer who interrupts our dinner. Would Abraham and Sarah put a no soliciting sign on their door? What would they do if they became aware of a neighbor in need? As people of God, we are called to invest ourselves in relationships with the people that God brings into our lives each day. Exuberant hospitality involves welcoming everyone. And as we continue on in this passage, Abraham and Sarah show us a second thing about exuberant hospitality. It involves showing others that they really matter to you. Notice the actions of Abraham in these next couple of verses. When he saw these strangers, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant." Now, this is one of only two times in the entire Bible when the patriarch, the head of the family, runs out to meet someone. Do you remember the second time it happens? The patriarch running out to meet someone? The prodigal son, yes. Not only does Abraham run, an unusual act for the father, but he also bows down. And in the Middle East and Asian cultures, bowing is a sign of deep respect for someone else. If you have ever been with our Bishop Park, who's from Korea, whenever he speaks to a group, the first thing he does before he says anything is to bow. And it's a powerful sign of his love and respect for the people he serves. So Abraham is running out and he is bowing down. And then he speaks these words that appear twice in this story. "My Lord, if I find favor with you." He's showing tremendous humility in the presence of his guests. And as I read that phrase, I was reminded of how the Apostle Paul instructed his friends in Philippi in Philippians chapter 2, verse 3. And let's read that verse together. "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves." The writer of the New Testament letter of Hebrews must have read Genesis 18 and had that in mind when he gave these instructions to his congregation. "Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it." How do you express to your family, to your friends, to your neighbors, to the stranger that you meet, that they really matter to you? Exuberant hospitality welcomes everyone, and it also shows others how much you value them. And then Abraham and Sarah show us a third thing about exuberant hospitality. It puts the focus on their needs. Look at these next two verses and the great consideration Abraham gives to the needs of these three strangers. "Let a little water be brought, and wash your feet, and rest yourselves under the tree. Let me bring a little bread, that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." And so they said, "Do as you have said." Reading that, I was reminded of something that Jesus said as well in Matthew 25, when he said, "Truly I tell you, just as you did it to the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." When we regard people as members of the family of Jesus, which he tells us even the least of these are, we put the focus on what they need and how we can serve them. Not long ago, I saw this brief video that illustrates for me what this showing genuine hospitality by focusing on the need of others looks like. So those children were focusing on the need of their friend and provided from what they had. Finally, Abraham and Sarah teach us that exuberant hospitality will serve others far beyond their expectations. Look at verses 6 and 7. And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour, knead it, and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. And then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them. And he stood by them under the tree while they ate. Now we notice a couple of important things in those verses. And first of all, we notice the language of haste that appears 5 times. Abraham runs into the tent and tells Sarah to make the bread quickly. And then he runs to the herd and gives it to his servant and instructs him to prepare it hastily. And we know it takes time to do baking and even more time to butcher and prepare meat. But the writer of this story wants us to see that Abraham is in a hurry, not because he wants his guests to eat quickly and get out of there, but he's in a hurry because he's focused on serving them beyond their expectation. And then there is this other detail. Look at how much choice flour, how much of the flour that they would have set aside for some special occasion, Sarah measures out. It says that she measures out 3 measures, which equals 50 pounds of choice flour, enough to feed 150 people. Now, how many strangers were there? 3. And here she's making enough for 150 people. Again, a sign of the exuberant hospitality being extended, and extended in a way that surely these strangers would never forget. Award-winning author Maya Angelou once said, "People will forget what you said. People will forget what you did. But people will never forget how you made them feel." Exuberant hospitality leaves a lasting impression on those who receive it. All of us at one time or another have experienced hospitality from someone else that we still remember today. When I was in seminary and Betsy and I lived in Dayton, Ohio, we made that 8-hour trip home to Pennsylvania and back many, many times. And we have long forgotten most of those trips, but there is this one trip that we will never forget. It was a bleak, rainy New Year's Day, 1981. We were returning to Dayton after Christmas break, and our 1976 AMC Pacer was loaded down with gifts and goodies from home. And about 4 hours from home, we got off the interstate in St. Clairsville, Ohio, to get gas. And I filled the tank and started to pull away when the car stalled out. So I started it up and drove a short distance, and it stalled out again. Thankfully, I managed to get the car off to the side of that little two-lane road we were on, and it was pouring down rain, and I got out and lifted up the hood as if I knew something about automobiles. And just then, a young man in a pickup truck pulled up, and he got out, he looked in under the hood, had me try to start the car, and then he identified the problem. And he advised us not to get back on the highway until we got the car fixed. Well, it just so happened that this young man's parents owned a motel just down the road. I wonder if he was out looking for business. And we followed him there, and we pulled into the parking lot. And honestly, the place looked like something out of an old Alfred Hitchcock movie. I mean, it was very dingy and very spooky looking. But he invited us in, and we went inside, and he introduced us to his mom, who was sitting in the lobby. She was a thin woman with her dark hair pulled back in a bun and wearing these rimmed glasses. And she was in the middle of a 500-page literary classic, War and Peace, by Leonid Tolstoy, and that was just so odd that we remember that little detail. And so we waited while this young man called around looking for a place that might fix our car, but of course it was New Year's Day, and no one was open, and so his mom insisted that we stay. And she gave us a room, and she invited us to dinner. And we sat down at the table in their home behind the motel, and they treated us like we were members of their family. And we still remember what they had for New Year's dinner. It wasn't pork and sauerkraut. It was tuna noodle casserole. Betsy and I shared some Christmas cookies we brought home for dessert, which they just raved about, making us feel good again. So early the next morning, the young man's dad gave us a wake-up call. And he had already called the service center down the road and had explained our situation, and the mechanic took us before his shop even opened for that day. He made the repairs and got us back on the road, and we were back in Dayton in time for my afternoon class. Now, we don't remember their names anymore, but it was not a coincidence that this young man came by at just the right time and that his parents owned a motel and that they would give us such a generous welcome that in them we experienced the care of God. We will never forget how they made us feel. Oh, that we could be people who could extend such hospitality to others at every opportunity. You know, the more I thought about Abraham and Sarah, the more I realized how they became such wonderfully welcoming hosts. For you see, as it says in number 5 in the notes, hospitality flows from hearts filled with gratitude for God's exuberant hospitality toward us. Throughout this entire story of Abraham and Sarah in Genesis, we see evidence of God's hospitality toward them. Their hearts are filled with gratitude for God's grace, and it just overflows into their relationships with others. Even strangers like these three men are blessed. At the end of our text for today, these strangers have a message. "Where is your wife, Sarah?" they ask Abraham. And he said, "They're in the tent." Then one of them said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife, Sarah, shall have a son." And then we have a few verses there about how Sarah laughs because it's just so incredibly unbelievable. And then one of the strangers says, "Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time, I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." And then a couple of chapters later, we see that the Lord dealt with Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did for Sarah as he had promised. Extending hospitality to strangers, Abraham and Sarah were entertaining angels unaware. And in the same way, God has extended such exuberant hospitality to you and me. The Apostle Paul reminds us in Romans chapter 15 that we are to welcome one another just as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. Abraham and Sarah have given us the gift of exuberant hospitality in the way they valued people and focused on their needs and served beyond expectation. What a wonderful legacy. Imagine what would happen if we looked at others the way Abraham and Sarah looked at their guests. Imagine if we would extend the same kind of exuberant hospitality toward everyone that the Lord Jesus Christ has extended toward us. May it be so. Amen.